And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello out there from North and Central America's best soccer nation. Go Canada, go. They've got, you'll probably know the result of this by the time you hear it. If you care about Canadian soccer. But go Canada. We're not talking about soccer. I just wanted to shout out the Canadian national team. But what we are talking about is the Toronto Raptors, Canada's team in the National Basketball Association. And to talk about them is Holly McKenzie. Holly, how are you?
Hi, you were making me nervous. You got so quiet and I was like, gosh, what's coming? Is this going to be a bad intro? I was very nervous.
I mean, it was a bad intro, but but not the way you were expecting. I was like waiting to see if anything clever came to my mind. And no, I'm a bit tired, as we were talking about beforehand. I, too, have written 3 games in 4 nights, so I'm battling through it. And I don't get, even a two-minute break on the bench. I'm joking, of course. My job is very good. I have no complaints. Holly,
yes.
Raptors fans, I mean, there might be some complaints, but we both picked a 3-2 set of 5 games, quintet of 5 games. Mm-hmm. I guess there can only be a quintet of 5 games, or else it wouldn't be a quintet. They one-upped us. They one-upped you.
Yes. Also, just for the record, you also told me that you thought I was lying about my guesses. I was not lying.
We don't have to re-litigate this.
And they still managed.
Yeah, the Raptors go 4-1 to review. They beat Charlotte. They lost on a back-to-back to Chicago. They won a triple overtime game in Miami. They won in Atlanta on Monday with the Hawks. Didn't have Trae Young, and they won again against Miami on the next night. Both Miami games, of course, played without Kyle Lowry. We both wish Kyle and his family the best, as he and his family are dealing with their personal matter. Sucks not to see him, but obviously, as Eric Spoelstra said, most importantly beyond basketball, obviously, is that everything is okay there, obviously.
Love to Kyle and his family, always.
Hopefully things are good enough that we can see him in Toronto on April 3rd, but that, of course, is secondary as well. The Raptors are 26-23. That's good enough for eighth in the East, if I could speak. They're 1 game behind the Charlotte Hornets for 7th, 2.5 behind Brooklyn for 6th. And 1 up on Boston and 3 up on 11th, which of course is the line of demarcation between making the play-in and not. 14th in offense, 16th in defensive rating, 15th in net rating. Still pretty average, but this week was anything but average. I want to start here. Where does that game against Miami, just off the top of your head, rank in like all-time regular season games?
Oh my goodness. Again, it makes me think of the Washington triple overtime, because I think that that's the only other triple overtime that I've covered for the Raptors. Do you think there's another, has there been another triple overtime? There was a game in Sacramento where Terrence Ross hit a shot and they said it didn't count.
I don't even think that was overtime. I think that would have summed it to overtime.
Remember,
but DeMarcus
that stands
Cousin,
out in my mind as like a crazy game because they messed up and it should have been a game winner.
Yeah, I don't think so. The Raptors played a triple overtime game in England.
Yes. I do remember that with the Nets, right?
New Jersey Nets, the then New Jersey Nets.
I do remember that.
That game was awful. I remember every look, like every potential game-winning look. It was like it was getting worse and worse. and those were two pretty bad teams, so not a surprise. My favorite game I ever attended as a fan in terms of the regular season, I think I've talked about this, was the triple overtime game in 2001, right after the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll be talking mm-hmm. about that in a bit. The 2022 version, not the 2001 version. But the Raptors were undermanned. Jerome Williams drove in his truck from Detroit to Toronto, and the Raptors won. The Raptors lost in triple overtime against the sort of the Peja, Vladdy, Chris Webber, Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. But guess what happened in that game? Vince Carter played 63 minutes, and yes, 48 plus 15 does equal 63. So despite all five starters playing more than 50 minutes, including all 15 overtime minutes in the game this week, none of them cracked the top three, I believe, maybe the top four, in minutes played in a single game for a Raptor. One is Vince Carter in the game I just mentioned, and DeMar DeRozan is second and third on that list. So maybe we are missing another triple over. No, because I think it might be the second and third might be that New Jersey game and the Washington game I mentioned, possibly.
And the Washington.
But you're not answering my question. Where does it rank? How high?
The game we just saw on Saturday. It was, in terms of entertainment value, I think it was the most entertaining for sure. Like, it actually ended up being a really, I hate calling it a fun game when I know guys are playing so many minutes and obviously we're exhausted. But it was a really entertaining and fun game, which is not something I usually say about the Heat and the Raptors.
Yeah, and it was crisp, but not like, it's not as if the offense was skewering the defense every time out, which I think is sort of what we talk about, what we mean mm-hmm. often when we say crisp. Like both of these teams are very, or at their best, I should say, are good defensive teams who create havoc and chaos and turnovers. So there was a fair number of that, those down the stretch. But, like, I think just...
And it was just such a physical game, too.
That's what I was about to say. The intensity and the physicality combined with what I didn't think was, like, a lot of, like, obvious mistakes. There were a lot of plays being made on both ends. Like, it puts it pretty high up there for me.
I think it tops the other Raptors overtime
games. Yeah, the one I'd think about just was DeMar's 52 game that did go into overtime against the Bucks. I
watched
that
from Nova Scotia. Yeah. That was on New Year's Day, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
I watched that from Nova Scotia.
I remember that being a great game. There have been a few others down that I've seen live, but in terms of seeing something on TV, this is right up there. If I'm trying to be objective about it, maybe I just put it behind that Raptors Kings game in 2001. In terms of the Raptors
nostalgia.
Yeah, I mean, I was a fan. I had a six pack of season tickets with my friend Sam.
Wow, I thought you were gonna say you had a six pack, and I was like,
no, I was 15.
I was like, why are we talking about this? Is that what you remember about being 15?
I mean,
I wish you could have seen my face because it literally was like, what is he talking about?
Anyway. Yeah, well, as soon as you get your Zoom camera working.
I know. That would require me to go to the Apple Store.
I just got my computer fixed, actually.
You went to the Apple Store?
No, I went to an Apple associated store.
Okay.
And got a new battery, which is helpful.
Was it really busy? No, this is boring talk. We shouldn't be talking about this. That's actually very helpful. My dread of going to the Apple Store, like, is as high as dread of going anywhere because it's always just so stressful. Like, it just makes me feel completely like I'm being sucked into.
I haven't been in in the Eaton Center, for example, since the pandemic started. I would assume the Apple Store isn't like that right now. But it does strike me in the before times as one of the most chaotic stores you'd ever want to go in. I understand why you're putting that off. I think the individual headline from this 4-1 week I don't think. I know. Gary Trent is en fuego. Speaking of DeMar DeRozan, he tied DeRozan's record with 5 consecutive 30-plus games in a row. It helped that he has played 41.7 minutes per game in those 5. Of course, that includes a 15-minute overtime, so it's really something more like 39 or 40, which is much more reasonable, of course. But averaging 32.2 points per game, 6.2 threes made per game, which is nuts, shooting almost 52% from deep, and also getting to the line 4.8 times per game, and that's not really his game, and the Raptors can use any sort of a, you know, regular free throw getter.
Presence.
Yeah, because they are normally on the wrong side of that. To quote Fred VanVleet, or at least paraphrase him, defenses are always complaining about the Raptors hacking and fouling, and that's fair because they usually are hacking and fouling, is what VanVleet said, or something along the lines of that. So the free throws are
the
nice,
best.
But man, what has been your impressions of Gary Trent during this binge?
Holy, he has been so much fun to watch, and during the game on Tuesday,
is they're playing all the same teams over an 8-game span. They're playing
So I've completely lost every sense of anything.
So in addition to time having no meaning anymore, there's also like, oh, and by the way, they're literally playing every team twice over the next 2 weeks.
So in the second game against Miami, which was a win in Toronto, but not an overtime.
No overtime. It's the normal 48 minutes. Only 2 guys played over 40 minutes, including Trent.
My favorite part was watching him talk trash after hitting big shots.
That's something you had a better view of than I did. So you can feel free to expand on it if you'd like.
No, he just had a lot to say, which was always fun to watch because he is such a passionate player, and you can see that when he's playing on the defensive end as well. But getting to see his personality come out when other players are, you know, talking to him, and when he gets to kind of talk back and let them know, let them hear it, is just really fun. And man, he's been great. I was pretty upset in the Atlanta game, actually, down the stretch. There was a stretch where they didn't go to him.
He went out for 2 minutes because he had played the first 15 minutes of the half, as the Raptors starters do. And he came back in, I think he went out with about 9 minutes left. He came back in with about 7 minutes left. But as I noted in my story from that night, he didn't take a shot. He had one turnover, but he didn't take his next shot until there were about 90 seconds left in the game. So that's a 5.5-minute stretch where Trent didn't get a shot. And considering his hands were literally made of flames at that point, it was a bit worrisome. Worked out in the end, though, because he hit that shot that he took, which was he took a handoff from Scotty Barnes, went to his right, which is his weaker side, the side he doesn't like to pull up from as much. And still nailed a 3. He missed the contested 2 that followed, but beggars, which we all are in terms of the Raptors' half-court offense, cannot be choosers.
Oh gosh, that sounds bleak. I was very, I was frustrated watching that game, saying, Gary, pass it to Gary. But it worked out, and he has been awesome. And I do not want to think about where they would be without him over this past little stretch. But it's just fun to see him looking great. Like, he was out with an injury, and he kind of came back, and it looked like it took him a little, you know, a couple games to, like, get himself back. And I don't know if you would have seen this. Did you notice a taller man in white at the game last night in the stands?
No.
His dad was...
I knew his dad was there. I just didn't see him.
He was in like a white Raptors sweatsuit, and that was really, really nice to see him watching.
Yeah.
It was just nice. It was very fun.
After the trade last year, I wrote a feature on Gary Trent Jr., in which I talked to Gary Trent Sr. about it and about how he raised him and tried to turn him into a basketball player, and obviously a very different type of basketball player than than he was. You know, Gary Trent Sr., obviously sort of like a bruising sort of old school. I'm brooding.
What did you guys talk about in this interview?
It got real. Bruising, power forward, old school type, the type that really doesn't exist much. If those guys exist, they're centers generally now. And Trent is obviously, you know, a perimeter oriented player. Was sort of before this year known for being a decent defender, but nothing special, and more of a standstill shooter. And now we're really seeing, you know, I still think that's his strength. Like, all things being equal, the Raptors probably want him taking as many catch and shoot threes as possible, or catch and shoot jump shots as possible. But he obviously does have a lot more in his proverbial bag than just that. And it was cool because, like, we had, you know, a few hundred fans back in Scotiabank Arena last night, and when he was at the free throw line, there were smatterings of a Gary chant.
I honestly didn't expect there to be any fans in the building, so I was kind of confused. I didn't know the
rules had changed. I didn't know that the Raptors were going to let in fans. It's good you mentioned that. There was somebody stopped me in the line to pick up food and was reminding me of this, which I don't remember, but you had retweeted this guy. This was years ago, probably, a jersey that he had, and it had like his 9 favorite players.
Oh my gosh.
Of all time.
Remember
this?
On the back, right? On the back of the jersey, there's like all the names.
And he mentioned how I like commented on it and said, like, this doesn't even make sense. Those guys didn't play together. So that's how he came up to me.
Very classic. I definitely remember this photo.
I don't know why I respond to these things like a killjoy. What is wrong with me? Anyway.
You were having a bad day. It ended in Y.
Yeah. True.
I'm just joking.
Gary Trent, also...
That's so... Sorry, I just needed to go back to that for a second. That is really, really funny. And now I'm going to have to pull up that photo.
Yeah, send it at me on it when you find
it. I will.
Send it my way, because I'm curious.
And I just wanted to ask you, do you know... So you said the rules changed. What are the rules now for here?
I think you can... I know you can have up to 500 people.
up to 500,
I'm not sure if that is like fans... Or like people total,
or everybody.
So that would include the players, us, and staff. It did make a slight difference knowing people were watching. Obviously the noise wasn't much to speak of. It still felt mostly like artificial noise. But knowing people are watching, I think it's nice. It's nice.
I always think it must be really interesting for the visiting team. I mean, it's weird for the Raptors, but they're kind of used to it.
Yeah, they're the ones.
It must be wild for the visiting.
For the visiting team
to come and just be like, "Oh, this is how it goes." Really quickly about Gary's dad. You talked about how they're different styles of players. I wonder what Gary's dad thinks of Gary's fashion.
Yeah. On that note, thank you for the segue. Gary Trent. pronouns, pal, was on, Gary Trent Jr. I'm speaking of, came to the podium on Tuesday night after his 5th straight 30-point game. He was wearing a Prada outfit, and as an accessory, was wearing a red Prada basketball in a, holster? I don't really know how to...
Was it a bag? Like, did the basketball open as a bag?
Apparently not. I think it's just a basketball. Retail price, I believe, $725 if you want to get really outraged about something.
I love it.
I mean...
I have all the money in the world, I want to have fun.
Yeah, like...
And he's having fun.
And, like, most of these guys do make, like, considerable charitable donations. So if you're, you know... spending on you is okay, and clutch got him a good deal, so
Hey, at least it's a basketball. Like, if ever something, if he ever gets stuck somewhere and is bored, he can
just... Yeah, he's going to start dribbling around at $700 and start dribbling. Basketball.
I mean, sure, why not?
Fred VanVleet said, and I quote, "Normal people don't wear that. He can wear whatever he wants. He's a rock star, man. He's a rock star in every sense of the word. And I just have really appreciated his passion for the game this year and his compete level," which is what you mentioned, just how much he seems to care. I was going to get to that right after you mentioned his trash talking, but we got diverted. That's okay. Fred VanVleet also said in one of my favorite quotes of the year, he was asked if Trent's offense comes within the flow of the offense. He said he's not scoring. I'm adding scoring. He's not scoring in the flow. He is the flow. He is his own flow.
That's an amazing quote. And imagine being so good at something that, yeah, I want to be my own flow.
I like to think I am.
What would yours be? Would yours be for writing? I mean, I guess that would have to be what mine was too. Like
making self-deprecating jokes when asking terrible questions. That's my
Eric,
flow.
Eric, it's 2022.
Yeah. I need to get over this. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right, I'll try.
Yes.
So
not even get over it. Just give yourself more credit.
Yeah.
That's all.
Be easier on myself. There are enough people who will be hard on me. Maybe not. Anyway, I don't think we need to have a "is this sustainable" talk, because like it quite obviously is not. Like he's not.
Hell yeah, it's sustainable, and it's really fun.
He's not going to shoot 51.7% on threes. He's not going to make a great point. He's not going to hit 6.2 threes per game. But to your point,
What if he does?
But to your point, where would they be without his performances right now? I mean, we saw it in the games before. The Raptors were shooting, before he came back during his 6-game absence, the Raptors were shooting 31% from three. They had like an offensive rating around 103 or 104 or something. And since they've came back, they're up to almost 40% from three, maybe 40% after last night's game. They're scoring at certainly a better clip than that. And as teams like certainly focus on Fred VanVleet, that first half against Miami, whether it was a combination of exhaustion, Jimmy Butler face guarding him, like Fred VanVleet had two shots. That's not how this team is built. And yet, you know, Trent's 17 kept them afloat and they found...
Fred looked really tired in that game.
Yeah, and then he
just from the beginning, he looked tired. That was one of the first games where I'm watching, I thought... I mean, obviously, we've talked a lot about his minutes, but that was one of the first games where I was like, he doesn't look...
Yeah, and I want to...
He doesn't look like himself.
I want to use this as a jumping off point to talk about some of the concerns within this, like, undeniably great week. I don't want to, like, be a downer. This was a good week, but, you know, it's our job to try to keep things in perspective here.
Couldn't it just be our job to like just go wild and say that he is?
I mean, I should like to think that's a bit more of your job, and you know, I can fill other roles. As we got that Nelson and Martin meme from The Simpsons earlier in the week from I think Brandon.
I had no idea who that was.
Yeah, it's The Simpsons because you don't watch The Simpsons. But it's for the people who do watch The Simpsons. It was somebody who tweeted and somebody sent it to us, a picture. It's like every podcasting duo is so Martin Prince skipping around merrily. And then there's Nelson Muntz, who's the bully, just sort of like dragging his heels and looking like a grump. We do somewhat fit that.
You're not a bully, though.
No, I'm not a bully. And like that picture doesn't portray him to be a bully. It, like that's his role in the show, but not within that picture. Okay. He's also a love interest for Lisa at one point.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's neither.
The Simpsons went places I didn't know.
By one point.
Don't they always stay as kids, though?
Yeah, one point, I mean, in one episode. It didn't work out. And Lisa remains in grade two. Anywho, the concerns, you mentioned the exhaustion, and I think here's sort of how we've seen that play out. Like, the last three wins, Miami, Atlanta, Miami, have all been sort of similar. They've gotten off to, fine but not great starts, put themselves in a bit of a hole, I can't remember where they were after the triple overtime game. I think it might have started a bit better than these last two games. But nonetheless, they haven't been great in the first half. They've been great in each of the third quarters. Like, the third quarter Raptors are the best team in the league. Of course, that involves playing Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent all 12 minutes occasionally. Last time I checked, their offensive rating with both of those guys on the floor is very good. And they've really used those third quarters to propel themselves. To propel themselves back into games or to take bigger leads, as they did against Miami, and that lead dwindled against Miami, which caused that game, the first Miami game, I should clarify, to devolve as it did. And the other two games, it allowed the Raptors to really get back in it and set themselves up to take the fourth. In basically all those games, Delano Banton did get in a few minutes in the fourth quarter of the most recent Miami game. But they've basically gone down from what's been a larger rotation in the first half to a smaller rotation in the second half, generally a seven-man rotation with cameos from an eighth. So the minutes continue to climb. And so the type of win is what I'm saying. Is not very varied, and therefore they only have certain avenues. This isn't a team with a ton of margin for error, in other words. They're not winning in a ton of different ways. How much of a concern is that? Because the way they're winning seems exhausting.
It is exhausting, for sure. And I think it is a concern. But similar to what you said at the beginning about, I hate that phrase, but the beggars can't be choosers thing. I think right now they're just happy about this stretch. But the defense has been so great in the second half of these games, and especially the fourth quarters. Like, it feels like the defense is like really fueling the offense as well. Like, they look like in the fourth quarters, not just the fourth quarter, but especially the fourth quarter of these games, they have looked like the team that I think we thought that they were going to be, or hoped that they would be, when the season started. You know, like, the length, they're using their length, they're super athletic, they're getting lots of shots, they're getting creating lots of turnovers and extra possessions. Like, I feel like that has been outside of Trent, that has been the thing that I think has been the most positive. So I echo your concerns, but I also think that that has been a huge positive, and I hope that they can find a way to continue that or have that impact earlier in the game with one or two bench guys getting into that mix more to help out the starters.
To your point about the defense, I just did this while you were talking, so thank you for the monologue. The Raptors' defense in the last seven games and just the second halves, allowing 99.7 points per 100 possessions, that is second best in the league over that span, next to only, I could give you 29 guesses, and I think you might get it in your 24th or 25th guess. Do you want to make one guess based on that?
Me saying, well, that's now
making, it's going to be somebody unlikely. So who's
that's now making me like change who I think. Dallas?
No, they've been good. One more guess.
Who?
Just guess somebody unlikely.
Well, obviously the unlikely guess is always going to be Sacramento.
No, it's not that unlikely. Oklahoma City, 96.8.
I don't know why I was thinking Sacramento. Dallas was like a good, like,
Sacramento in the second half of the last seven games.
Oh, no. That's impossible, actually. That was an impossible
128.3 points.
Oh, my goodness.
Per 100 possessions.
Also, Alvin Gentry.
And they rank last, by the way, in that stat.
Okay, well, yeah.
Alvin Gentry, go on.
No, I'm trying to remember. I wanted to say this, and now I can't really remember the story, so it's kind of a pointless waste of time. I think he like wasn't going to speak to the media because they were so bad after one game or something. I feel like I remember seeing this, and I just thought, oh my goodness, he's had some insane quotes because he is very honest.
Yeah,
and what a situation that is.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear that they're gonna. I don't know how much they love Gentry, but like things haven't turned around under him, so I imagine they're going to go fire high.
Well, I'm sure that all they need is a different coach, and it'll turn all around.
Yeah, no, that's what the history of the Sacramento Kings has taught us, certainly. Quickly, a few things before we move on to some other thoughts, and we'll keep it in the concern development. And in the positive development, Tim Burch, Nick Nurse said he should be back within the next week. That's great.
Great news.
Does any part of you think he should go in the starting lineup? Not any part of you. Would you put him in the starting lineup?
I would in time if it needs to happen, but right now I don't think I would. You?
I think that's probably my answer too, but my gut is he should be starting for Scotty.
Yeah.
And I think it's partly to help, like, just give Scotty more of the ball, to be honest. Like I think he's been good. Yeah. He's been fine to good still, but like, he can just get more reps on the things he needs reps in a lineup that doesn't always include Pascal and Fred, especially. So I think that might end up being their best starting lineup. And the other thing is, like, having three primary reserves, and obviously this could change at the trade deadline, but having them be Boucher, Birch, and Achua, mm-hmm. you know, isn't obviously ideal. There are also ways they can work around that, but it's not what you want.
You mentioned Scotty, and I just have to say his pass last night to OG for the
alley-oop and bound pass.
Alley-oop. Yeah. Wow.
Great pass.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect play call. Perfect finish by OG. But what a freaking pass.
Our friend Gourmet Spud just retweeted it, and he tweeted it under the guise of, I can't see where the fifth defender is. And I looked at, like, I can't see it either. I'm sure there was a fifth defender on the floor. That seems like a major error. And maybe he's just in the backcourt trying to avoid, mm-hmm. like, a play that allows them to kill time in the backcourt. But that's probably the answer. But go to Gourmet Spud's feed afterward and try to find the fifth defender. You won't be able to.
I will do that, but can we just have a moment to say, whew, the pass.
It was a great pass. Perfect. I mean, yeah, a ballsy pass. Like, that's not an easy pass to do from that inbound spot, and knowing if you throw it away, the opposition is within two and has the ball with a chance to win the game. But Scotty Barnes isn't scared, whether it's like... He doesn't, like, usually when you say that, you're thinking of a guy like Gary Trent Jr., who's, like, clearly taking shots. That's not the type of player Scotty Barnes is right now, although we've seen him occasionally in that role of, like, just taking big shots. And hold that thought, rather. But, like, he'll try to make plays. The plays that he sees are there. Now he's, like, just more comfortable as a passer and a defender than... as a shooter right now, but he's if he sees the right play to make, even if it seems bold, he'll do it. And that's part of what you have to love about him. Indeed?
Indeed. I'm wondering where you're going with the hold that thought. I'm holding it.
So the shots. I mentioned he isn't shooting very often. The Raptors played a lot of crunch time in January, as defined by NBA.com. That is, under 5 minutes to go within plus or minus 5 points. Let's get some usage rates of the Raptors in those situations. And I bring this up because I think it was after the Brooklyn game, we had a discussion of the Raptors' late game offense. And you said you'd love to see Scotty Barnes getting involved a lot more in those situations. Usage rates in these in January... Gary Trent Jr., 24.1%. Fred Van Vliet, 23.4%. OG Anunoby, 22.7%. By the way, OG is the best shooter by far in those minutes for the Raptors. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he's been awesome. And he obviously had the big three against Atlanta off of a great setup from Van Vliet. Like, that ball fake and kick to the corner. It's funny how you don't talk about late game execution when guys are just making plays out of ISO mismatches. But that's what Fred VanVleet did.
Definitely didn't see that coming. Didn't know that was coming. It was a perfect...
The ball fake, just, you know, chef's kiss. Anyway, I'll continue. Pascal Siakam, I'm only at 18.2%. You would obviously expect higher. But he has had the ball a lot, and he's he's just happened to pass a lot. I think he's either tied or very close with Van Vliet in total assists in those minutes. Scotty Barnes, 8.8% usage rate, which is like sub OG as a rookie by far. That's like a...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like Yuta Watanabe, like on a...
it's
on
a surprise. On a,
like last year at the beginning of the season, that's like what that percentage is. So how concerned are you by that? Like, he's obviously having moments throughout the game, but in the biggest moments, he tends to be, you know, sometimes he'll screen, sometimes he'll get in the dunker spot, sometimes he'll have a pass to make, but he tends to be away from the action.
Yeah, he also has shown, again, his ability to get offensive rebounds and taps. Like, he's so good at just making things happen, even when it isn't focused on him. Like, even when he isn't the focal point of whatever's happening.
Which is a great skill to have. Positive. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, definitely is surprising to see it like that. I probably would have been able to guess, like, that the hierarchy there, but I would not have guessed those numbers. Like, I would not
I probably would have inverted Siakam and OG, but, I mean, as I said, like, it's the passing from Pascal that really... You know, and as long as you're not turning it over, which he hasn't been doing much in those situations, the usage doesn't go up, even though, you know, it'd be interesting, I guess, to see time held and dribbles in those situations. But I did not prepare for that, Holly.
do you need me to like,
I don't even know where to start with that. Like, I'm sure there probably is a way because John Schumann and the NBA stats team are geniuses, but I don't think I could figure that out unless you literally spoke for 15 minutes. And unless we're talking about, I don't know, Harry Styles, that's probably not going to happen.
His birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday to Harry. February 1st?
Second. What? Today's the 3rd, right? No, today's the 2nd. Yesterday's the 1st. It was the 1st.
All right, cool.
Sorry. Happy birthday, Harry. Yes.
Speaking of Scotty Barnes... there's also the whole minutes deal, which I think we kind of covered. As I wrote in The Athletic, subscribe to The Athletic, I think with the trade deadline, whether the Raptors make a move or not, I really think this is going to come to a head and they will find minutes regularly for an 8th and probably 9th guy. And by regular minutes, I mean like a, you know, 2 10-to-12 minute roles.
I thought you were gonna say 2 minutes, and
no, not like the Eric. Like the Justin Champagne role doesn't count as a rotation spot. Like don't get me wrong. Like all those minutes are, you know, if however you get Van Vliet or Siakam a few extra minutes, that's great. But like that's not a sustainable way to run a rotation. So in my mind, they're basically playing a 7.5 man rotation right now.
I'm taking this completely out of the lineup here, but I'm forgetting the games because of the order of what you mentioned, us seeing the same teams again and again. Did we pod since Malachi had like a really good stretch, a really good game?
I can't even remember was that Charlotte? That might have been the first game.
I think it was Charlotte, that might have been and then the I think
first
he
game in this stretch. So
the stretch. Yeah. I just wanted to say shout out to Malachi.
Yeah, so
he had a really good game, and it was really nice.
We always
to see.
Say be ready when you're called. It's as we see by the amount that those players are not thriving in the situations in which they are put in. It's not an easy thing to do, and he had a great few minutes. Has he played since? Maybe in the Chicago game, Yeah, I think we don't need to belabor it because we're going to talk about the trade deadline in a bit. And either they're going to solve the problem externally or I think they'll be forced to solve it internally. And I think that's where we're going to get. We'll go there in a second. Speaking of Scotty Barnes, I said speaking of, which was one of my New Year's resolutions, not to do that. I'm not perfect.
I think it might be the first time you did that today, though.
All right. Nobody check that. Scotty Barnes named to the Rising Stars event. Can no longer say Rising Stars game. Have to say Rising Star event because it now includes 28 players, 12 rookies, 12 sophomores, and 4 G League Ignite players who are divided into 4 7-man teams, and they play a mini tournament. I don't really care about the event itself, so I have no thoughts on it, if we're going to be honest, other than it's like a cool achievement. But Scotty Barnes named, that's no surprise. Bit more of a surprise, and I haven't, to be honest, broken down the group of sophomores that was included. Precious Achiuwa also named to the sophomore, to the Rising Stars game as one of the 12 sophomores. Were you as surprised as I was at that one?
I was surprised. I also noticed someone had tweeted, and it kind of went all over Twitter, that when they announced that on TV, they had him listed as a Heat player. So that was disappointing. But maybe they just were confused because there were two Raptors Heat games this week. But yeah, I was surprised. But good for him. Good for Scotty. It should be a fun weekend for them. I am happy about the change in format, because obviously the problem with All-Star games is always that it ends up usually just being, you know, a lot of dunks, and that's fun, but like one team sometimes will run away with it from the other team. So I think they're always looking to try to find ways to solve that competitive issue without, I mean, obviously you don't want players to go out an All-Star weekend and get hurt, but like you do want it to be entertaining to watch. Shout out to Kyle Lowry
taking a bunch of charges a few years back.
Shout out to Kyle Lowry forever.
Kyle Lowry is like history of All-Star injury related issues. Like there was that, he didn't get injured, but he was certainly taking charges. But there was also the time where he just showed up on the bench with a huge wrap around his wrist, and everybody started sending me the photos like, what's up with this? I'm sure it's nothing. And then like he had surgery to get rid of the loose bodies like after. A few days later.
That's great. Great.
And it's like, did you golf during the break? It was good. He, of course, I don't know why I'm relitigating this. He did it in the last game before the All-Star break, which was a brilliant comeback against Charlotte that I think prominently involved my man, DeLon Wright. So good luck.
You didn't mention him when we were talking about the Hawks, by the way. He's like a full-grown, grown-up veteran NBA player.
Yeah, like
now.
He has like broad adjacent shoulders.
Yeah, he like looks like he has grown up.
I love DeLon, and I think the Raptors could do worse than acquire him at the trade deadline. But I don't think it's a particularly likely situation.
But yes, I do think that the change of format is good because it'll make it more competitive. Yeah. I think because it'll be smaller games and
probably
like
shorter,
tournaments.
Yeah, shorter games.
Yeah.
Zach Harper, of The Athletic, doing his power rankings, mentioned the Raptors and said that Scotty Barnes should just be involved in in All-Star Weekend in as many ways as possible. Just let him host.
just let him smile, literally.
Just give him a mic and let him walk around all weekend and clap.
That would be amazing.
In people's faces.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Do you have any final All-Star thoughts? We get the reserve named on Thursday. As I found out yesterday when I tried to be smart with Nick Nurse and said good luck with the... yesterday being Tuesday, good luck with your selections. The selections were already due before Tuesday. They were due on Monday. So Pascal Siakam's great defensive performance on Tuesday had no bearing on what the coaches saw. Do you have any final thoughts there about?
Yeah,
about
I'm just curious to see how the coaches' vote goes. I really, really hope that we see Fred's name there. I feel like he's gotten a lot of attention over the past month or so along like national outlets. So I'm hoping that that will be reflected in the votes. But not a ton of extra thoughts. Just curious to see how it goes. And oh, I do have one thought. It's not Raptors related. I do not appreciate the way people have been Making jokes about Andrew Wiggins being selected as a starter.
I really thought you would have loved that. I thought that would have been perfect for you, Holly. You love it's sarcasm and just meanness on Twitter.
It's a fan vote, and the same people that are like upset that Wiggins is starting were also wanting Drake and or Justin Bieber to tweet in support of the Raptors.
Yeah, look, so, and like it's not just a fan vote. Like he finished third among the fan vote. There were chances for the players and media to mm-hmm. vote, and that counted for 25% of the vote. I had a vote, I had a vote for both conferences. And, you know, if more of the players would take this actually seriously, like would actually think, I'm actually not outraged by this for all the reasons you've laid mm-hmm. out, but like pinning it on the fans when the players take it objectively less seriously than the fans do, if you look at like the players who got votes in a much smaller group of voters, you know, it's ridiculous. Like I think Rudy Gobert, to my mind, clearly should have been the third forward in the Western front court player, in the Western Conference behind LeBron James and Nikola Jokic. There are more deserving players than Andrew Wiggins, sure, but like Wiggins has been very good on a good team and
on a great team.
Yeah. And the players don't take it super seriously. Like the majority of the media had, you know, Gobert or Green or Towns in that third spot. I don't know exactly what the players' numbers are, but they just don't really care. And I'm not saying they should, but you can't just pin this on the fans. Beyond that, it's fine. Who cares? I mean, it results in one less quote-unquote deserving all-star, but it's not like Wiggins is Zaza Pachulia in the year he got in.
It's not like he's undeserving. Like, it's not rare for one of the best teams in the league. I think they're only a couple games behind the Suns for the best record in the league, not just the West, to have two players be in the All-Star game.
Yeah, like, yeah.
So, have two starters. So.
Yeah, the issue is that eventually the Spurs fans get upset because DeJounte Murray doesn't get in because Andrew Wiggins did get in. But is that like the world's, I mean, that sucks for whoever that player ends up being, but it's not like Wiggins is.
It's just bothered me because I feel like it has been a stronger reaction than normally is about the All-Star game. And usually people are not outraged at celebrities tweeting in support of it because that's just part of it. Like if tweets and retweets count, then I mean, that part of it is a popularity contest in that way. And it's just silly. Like, let Wiggins enjoy his moment. He's had an amazing season and good for him. And good for his fans who helped get him there.
Yep.
Don't be a jerk.
Like,
not you.
Okay, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I agree with everything you said.
Okay.
And, like, in my mind, I could talk about it forever because I think there are ways to make it better and so the most deserving players get in. But, like, I don't think it's that important, and I don't mind the fans having a say. Maybe there's a way to streamline it so that, like, only the fans attending, which it used to be, like, only fans attending a game get to vote, and therefore you can't vote however many times as a celebrity. But, like, the NBA is not going to give up all its social engagement, so who cares? Why are we talking about this?
The NBA is also a global game, so it's not fair to restrict it to fans who are at
games
because tons of fans are.
They don't even think about that.
Watching from around the world. Anyway, congrats to Wiggins.
Yeah, we'll have some Canadian representation because there is none in the Rising Stars game for the first time in what I imagine is quite some time. I will be writing, and let's get this done. We'll give it about 10 minutes maybe, and hopefully end within an hour, knock on wood.
Plug the mailbag.
Yeah.
Plug the mailbag.
On theathletic.com, if you go there, there's a submission form where you can send your trade deadline question or proposals to me. I will be answering them in the style of who says no, the Raptors or the other team/teams. That the proposed trades are from, or are with, I should say. Having gone through them briefly and answered a few so far, I will say we're heavy on trades. in which the other team says no and not the Raptors.
People love a trade. They love to try to get
Boy,
the most.
People love giving up seconds instead of firsts. Yeah. It's really popular for some reason. so if keep that in mind. One of the trades I will be discussing here if we have time, I changed a bit so it would become realistic as opposed to a Raptors. A trade that the other team would just definitely say no to without even thinking, even if there is some question about whether the Raptors should do it. I should shut up. Before we get into specific trades, let's just say for a minute that the Raptors are definitely trading Goran Dragic and a lottery protected first or a top 10 protected first for a piece or pieces that will help them this year and a year or two into the future. What type, obviously the Raptors need depth at any cost. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a type of player that you would like the most?
A shooter.
So like a two.
Because they're so easy to come by.
Like a 2-3, a 2-3 type.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like there's been a lot of talk about bigs. I think, as we've mentioned, like the Raptors not having bigs is sort of a feature and not a bug of this mm-hmm. experiment. That doesn't mean I don't think they would trade for bigs in the right situation, but I don't think they're going to use serious assets on somebody who's not moving the needle.
Yeah, I mean, I think that could help, but I definitely think that they would benefit more from a shooter.
Yeah. So the way I was talking to Michael Grange about this while we were both waiting for our test results at the Scotiabank Arena, so we could enter the arena on Tuesday. And I said, like, a shooter who gives you, like, one of either defense or secondary playmaking, that's what I'm looking for. Like, it's unrealistic.
3-and-D, baby. Yeah, there's tons of those guys really hard, looking for teams.
That's why you have
teams.
To consider trading a first, right? But that's what I'm looking for. Which is to say, I don't want the Raptors to trade for Davis Bertans because he can't playmake or defend. And if that is the type, I hope you're getting assets back to take on that contract. Anyway, mm-hmm. enough with the generalities. Let's get into some specifics. Lucas suggests to the Raptors, a man we just saw, Bogdan Bogdanovic. He signed through 2024 at $18 million per year. To the Hawks, Dragic, and a lottery protected first. Who says no, Holly?
The Hawks say no.
I agree. I understand that the Hawks are trying to get off some money, but they also made the conference finals last year, and Bogdanovic mm-hmm. is probably their second most explosive perimeter creator, right there with...
He's a really good player.
Kevin Herter, maybe.
It wouldn't be a guy that it's not like it's a situation where he's a really good player, but there's a lot of internal issues where you're trying to move him, you know, like he's a really good player. So you would definitely,
I think you're
want...
definitely like having to attach a more interesting player to Dragic and make it a bigger trade if that's your deal or another asset. And I'm still like Atlanta's sort of in the similar situation to the Raptors in which like, yeah, they're not going to go all in this year, probably. They have mm-hmm. a few more monetary concerns than the Raptors do, but I don't think they're just going to sell for future assets, as this trade would suggest, while acknowledging, again, their money situation. From Alex to the Raptors, Eric Gordon signed through 2024, again, at about $19 million per year. To the Hawks, Goran Dragic, a 2022 top 10 protected first that has declining protection through 2024. That means the pick gets better if it doesn't get conveyed every year. So maybe this year it's protected through the top 10. Next year, if the Rockets don't get it, I put to the Hawks. I meant to the Rockets. It's top 8. The year after that, top 6. What do you think about that? Who says no?
That's interesting, but I still think that... The Rockets would say no.
I think the Rockets can probably get a pick and a low level prospect. So like maybe if you're tossing in, I don't know, if like the Rockets really like Precious Achiuwa or Malachi Flynn, maybe there's a framework there. I don't think the Raptors go more expensive than that. And frankly, like Gordon is a little he's 33 and he's smaller.
You were gonna say he's a little old, and but, I was but,
like,
gonna cringe.
He's great. Like I really like him. Like I like him. I just like if I'm the Raptors, that's not necessarily where I want to go in the age bracket. Like failing any other option that I like better. Like I would make this trade if I'm the Raptors. I don't think the Rockets do, but I think the Rockets will have better options.
But I also think that the Rockets would be more open to doing a trade than
the Hawks. For sure.
You know what I mean? I feel like the Rockets are in a situation where maybe some.
It's a clearly different situation. I'd be surprised if Eric Gordon didn't move, but I think they can get slightly more than that. But that's not unrealistic.
Also, I just have to say, people can probably tell from the tone of my voice when I'm talking about this stuff, I loathe the trade deadline. I hate trade talks. I don't like talking about players coming and go. Like, I don't like it. It makes me feel very sad.
This is a good segue. Because this is why I threw this trade in for you. From Justin, right. I'll start with what's going out. To the Magic, Goran Dragic, Svi Mykhailiuk, a lottery protected 2022 first and an unprotected second round pick. You can make that whatever year you want that the Raptors have one. They don't have one in 2022 and 2024. Coming back, Mo Bamba, who will be a restricted free agent next year. So you have to deal with paying him or coming to some sort of deal. And Terry time, Terrence Ross.
Oh my goodness. I would love to see Terrence come back.
See, I knew I could make the trade deadline conversation fun for you.
But then it still makes me feel bad because I don't like... I hate the trade deadline. Everyone else finds it so fun, and I know
you're just not like a GM at heart, like 95% of NBA Twitter.
I don't like it, and I hate ranking players above other. I also hate NBA rankings. Shocker.
Hashtag NBA So let's. I really want to keep this under an hour. We're losing hope here.
Yes.
Who says no here?
But then you're making me say that the Raptors are going to say no to Terrence.
Well, what's your
opinion?
The
Magic are going to say no. The Magic are going
to
say no.
I think that's a deal that's really close to working. I don't think Ross or Bamba gets you a first alone. I think both of them might get you a lightly protected first, and getting that unprotected second round pick could help. Like if it's the Raptors and you figure they finish similar next year as this year, that's like 45th or something. That's not nothing. Ultimately, I'm guessing the Raptors don't like Bamba enough to really want to pay him in free agency what it would take. So I'm going to say the Raptors, if this is the best deal available, the Raptors probably do it. But I think they ultimately say no. And I think the Magic probably try to move the pieces separately rather than together. Does that make sense?
Gosh. Getting Terrence Ross back here would be wild. Wild.
I was making trades for him, for Norm, for Serge.
Serge!
Yeah, I was reuniting the
bring
bench.
Serge back.
I was reuniting the bench mob in trades. I talked to CJ Miles for
see, people
for a story
really do like people like
Thursday.
The trade machine.
Yeah.
I hate the trade machine. You know, I never use that unless I actually have to verify that something could work. I hate it. Yeah. That is not something I ever go to for fun.
Yeah.
No.
I just did it to rile up Twitter. Which I do occasionally. And I won't be answering many questions. This is the final one we'll be dealing with today. So you can start to get relieved. I won't be answering many questions involving the Raptors core four or even Gary Trent, who's just outside of that, I'd say, but also
core four.
Shout out to my core four group of Ryerson friends, Fahad, Lindsay, and Rosa.
That's why I did it.
I did want to include this one. Just because it's interesting. And this was the pick that I altered because it originally only had a 22 pick swap. And I think the Raptors would need to give more for this. So to the Kings, OG Anunoby, Precious Achiuwa, a 2022, so this year, top four protected pick. So that allows the Raptors to keep the pick if it's if they move up in the lottery, if they're in the lottery, which is obviously unlikely, so it would probably convey. And plus another pick swap, so maybe 2024 pick swap, for Rashawn Holmes and Tyrese Halliburton.
Well, I feel like the Kings probably are down to do whatever, but...
It's funny because OG is the type of player they need. He's like better and younger Harrison Barnes, who is another Raptors candidate, by the way. Although I don't think they'll pony up what they'll need to in order to get him, but like he would...
Bringing Harrison Barnes here would be like closing the Ben Uzo triple-double loop.
I hadn't thought about that. So do you have a feel on that one? Like other than the Kings, like the Kings are impossible to predict because they're the Kings?
The Kings are impossible to predict, but I don't think the Raptors are giving up OG.
I agree, which is why I'm not going to tackle many of these trades. But I think the Raptors meeting is longer about this trade than the Kings meeting is, if that makes sense. Like, because
the Raptors would talk through it more than the Kings
because
would.
Tyrese Halliburton, yeah. I think, is Sacramento's best trade asset. Mm-hmm. And to turn that into OG Anunoby, what's probably a middle first round pick in a not very deep draft, supposedly, and a pick swap that probably won't happen because the Kings generally are bad and the Raptors are generally decent.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's enough for them. Which is why I added the pick to the pick swap, which was initially added. And then when I think you go to multiple firsts, the Raptors are totally walking away.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But like, I would, I included that because I would love Halliburton on this team. I think he's like almost the perfect... guy to play next to Fred, but I think it would take more than that for the Kings to give up on him.
It would be awesome, but I definitely would not want to see OG.
I mean, it's sad, and that's what makes the trade deadline hard, and that's why you hate talking about this stuff. So that's one piece you can look forward to on The Athletic. Another piece you can look forward to, as I mentioned briefly and you didn't respond to, I talked to CJ Miles, and I talked to 9 other people in Fred Van Vliet's life. I can say this now because it's supposed to go up on Thursday. And they told me some Fred Van Vliet stories and some Fred Van Vliet just thoughts on the precipice of him likely being named an All-Star. I'm not going to get into anybody else. I will say I talked to one politician about him.
Another wait.
Former Raptors player. Two former Raptors assistant coaches. And a lot more people from his earlier days in his basketball career.
Read Eric. Yeah. Subscribe to The Athletic.
A lot of great Fred Van Vliet pieces out there right now. Michael Grange at Sportsnet had a great one on his leadership. Howard Beck getting Fred the National Pub in SI. Cool to see. And I really do think it's going to be rewarded with an All-Star berth. Spot on Thursday night, while conceding that there is a guard, a surplus of deserving all-star guards in the Eastern Conference that could make him, make it potential that he becomes more likely to be an injury replacement for Kevin Durant, or possible, not more likely, possible to be an injury replacement, rather than making it in the first go. But if I had to bet, I think he'll make it. Quickly, this week, Thursday, home to Chicago. Friday, home to Atlanta. Get the weekend off, 2 days off in a row. Oh my God. And then Charlotte on, I put Tuesday, but I believe it's on Monday. In Charlotte on Monday. What's your prediction, Holly?
Well, I want to say 3-0 because I want to say that they'll beat Chicago finally. But I feel like realistic would be 2-1, but I'm gonna say 3-0.
All right, so you're saying 3-0. I'll say it's a tough week. I'll say 2-1. I'll say they win their home games and then lose in Charlotte on Tuesday.
And then lose in Charlotte.
Even though, like, I don't know. I guess that's what I'll say. I don't feel good about it, though. But when do I feel good about things?
Oh, I don't feel good about 3-0, but I'm going to say it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more likely
to be 2-1. 2-1 would be a good week.
For sure.
I'm going for 3-0.
Yeah, so we'll talk to you next Tuesday is when we'll record. That will be 2 days before the trade deadline, which is Thursday, the 11th. If anything's happened, of course, we'll cover it. I would expect most things to come down to the, you know, final day, as it always does. Because I doubt the Raptors will be in on anything so big that it would really need time to get done, and therefore is like the market setting things, the market setting pieces.
Where are the Raptors for the deadline?
I believe it's Oklahoma City on Wednesday and Houston on Thursday. They have a back to back.
So they're away. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about that then. Holly, hopefully, I don't know what we should hope for. Hopefully the trade deadline is peaceful for you. Is that fair?
Yes, that's I don't want,
like,
any heart.
Hopefully it's happy for the Raptors fans, but peaceful for you. Like, if I don't know if those two things can happen, but if they can, that's what we want, right?
If they can coexist, that would be nice. Thanks for wishing
for my
emotional state.
Yeah. So thank you, Holly. Thank you to the listeners, to the readers. And we will come back to you early next week. Holly, thanks as always.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
See ya!